This podcast, written, performed, and produced by The Devil, is brought to you by the above top secret family of websites. www.abovetopsecret.com.
You're listening to a From the Left podcast. Now, where are my pants?
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Coming to you from a bunker in Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Big O's ATS Lost Podcast.
Hey everybody, and welcome to what will be hopefully the first of at least three Lost Podcasts for Below Top Secret. I'm going to be your host, the Big O, bring you all things Lost related from this Wednesday night's episode. Bunch happened in the show, so let's get down to business. I want to apologize in advance for the shakiness of this episode, so to speak. It's my first time doing a fan podcast of anything other than just current events and whatnot. So bear with me. I'm sure these will get better as we go on. Any rate, the episode was titled Left Behind. And it was a Kate-centric episode, so the flashbacks dealt with Kate, although the action on the island did flip-flop between other characters. So let's get right back down into it. The first scene starts with Kate hanging out in the game room back at the other's barracks. And it's the same game room Jack was in, and we've seen it before. But she's handcuffed, and she's looking around like she's a little nervous. So, lo and behold, who comes walking by the window but Juliet? So Kate moves over by the front door, grabs a window. She's going to ambush him. Door opens. Juliet walks in. Kate takes a swing. Juliet ducks, grabs it, flips Kate onto her ass, and schools Kate. So Kate gets owned by Juliet. Now, what a lot of people don't know is Juliet is a ninja and moves at 40,000 frames per second. So all you Ask a Ninja people out there will get that one. But so Juliet lays a smack down on Kate and puts in her place, really. Just throws the sandwich down on the ground. Well, actually, the sandwich fell and says, you know, I'll just bring you a sandwich. So you can eat rats now for all I care. And she marches out. We then cut to Kate standing in front of a broken-down car. Mechanic talks to her and says it's a fan belt, and we find out she is in Iowa. What she's doing there, we don't yet know, but she lies to the driver, says her name is Lucy, and he takes her into town. So as they come up to the gas station, lo and behold, who do we see but Cassidy, Sawyer's old girl, trying to pawn off some fake jewelry on a guy who's threatening to call the cops. Kate, seeing a lady in distress, walks over and helps her out. We find out that Kate says he was just helping out a sister in need, but Cassidy's got a quick eye and figures maybe Kate was in such eager help because she didn't want the cops showing up. So Cassidy notes she's kind of stuck and offers to give her a ride into town to have a drink so they can chit chat, so to speak. So we cut back to Kate back in the barracks, and she's playing backgammon. Locke enters in to say he's saying goodbye and is leaving with the others. Kate doesn't believe it, thinks he's brainwashed, rightfully so, considering what she's seen. And Locke says that Jack's going to have to stay behind, too. Kate doesn't believe anything he's saying. But, you know, Locke says he was trying to vouch for her, but he found out from the others what Kate had done. And from the look on his face, he doesn't view her quite the same way. She asks about everybody else who's there at the camp, but Locke just kind of jets. And bam, we get the Lost title and head into our first commercial break. And with that, I'm actually going to take a break soon. Podcasts will follow every time there's a commercial break. I'm going to break just to kind of liven up the show and have a quick snafu. And this will be the first one. So when we get back, we'll pick up after the first commercial break.
We're rolling. Say it. I'm only reading this because it helps us. Hey, this is Jade Fontaine. If we clear 10,000 subscribers, I'll show everyone my boobs.
I seen them. It's worth it.
Well, okay. Just my left one.
I love this job.
PvP the series, coming this fall to CBS. What? That fell through? Okay. Still on the internet.
All right, we're back. And coming after the first commercial, we're on the beach. Hurley walks over and he's like, dude, I shouldn't even be over here like talking to you, man. And tells Sawyer there's going to be a vote. And people are not happy with Sawyer and are considering getting rid of him. So he says Sawyer better start kissing some butt. Sawyer doesn't really believe him, which is typical of Sawyer. But you can tell from the look on his face, maybe he is. He has taken what Hurley's saying to heart. And then we cut back to Kate in the game room. She starts nibbling on bread like a rat. And there's a commotion outside. And we see the others with gas masks on and backpacks. So something's going down. Before she knows it, there is a gas canister tossed into the room. She grabs a rag, tries to cover her mouth. But before she knows it, she's passed out. Well, actually, she didn't know she passed out, but she passes out. So then we're back at the bar in another flashback scene with Kate and Cassidy. And they're going over the finer parts of how to con somebody. Kate says she uses Lucy because something about Saints or Sunday School or something. I don't exactly remember. Basically, they chit-chat, and Kate breaks the news to Cassidy that she killed her father because he's a bad guy. And I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting. But she says she's here to get in touch with her mom. So Cassidy offers to help her. Says she fell in love with the wrong guy, and he took all her savings. So Sawyer, there you go. So then we cut to the next scene. Kate wakes up in the jungle, realizes she's still handcuffed, rolls over, and who did she see but the beautiful Juliet passed out, sleeping, looking like an angel. Bam, cut to commercial two. And with that, we're going to cut to commercial two. When we come back, we're going to pick up back on the beach, baby. Back to Kate and Juliet. And Kate's looking over Juliet's body. And Juliet's got a pocket knife, conveniently visible. So Kate leans over and tries to take it, but Juliet wakes up and grabs her by the hand. Now, this is interesting to me because this is the first time I remember Kate really looking scared by anybody or intimidated by anybody. But Juliet's laid the smack down and gotten the better of Kate once, and Kate looks scared here. Maybe it was me. Maybe other people will agree with me. I'm not sure, but any rate, Juliet lets her go, and some small talk ensues, and Juliet says she doesn't know why she's there either, blah, blah, blah. Kate tries to unlock the handcuffs. Juliet says they're too big. Kate wants to go save her friends. Juliet just wants to know why the others left her there. So, cut to the next scene, which is a flashback. We see what we think is Kate walking up to her mother's house. Now, I didn't think it was Kate because it didn't make sense based on the previous conversations that she would just walk up to her mom's. But Kate's mom, Diane, opens the door, and bam, the feds are on her. And then we find out it wasn't Kate but Cassidy. But I think most everybody watching knew that was a setup. And sure enough, we see Kate in a car watching from a distance away. And she's like, whoa, you know, good thing I didn't do that. So then Kate's back in a motel room. Cassidy comes in and says Kate must have done some pretty effed up stuff to have that many marshals running after her so crazy. Like, this is, I think, where Kate broke down how she killed her dad. I think it was this scene where she did that. I don't remember. She says she wants to talk to her mom because she wants to know why her mom chose her pops over her after she killed her. So now we kind of get the idea, you know, we see the reasoning behind Kate trying to contact her mom. So then we cut back to Kate and Juliet again. And Kate wants to go back to the village, and Juliet says, no, it's going to rain. We should make camp for the night or something. And, you know, Kate's stubborn. She's like, no, I'm going, me. And they start walking off, and sure enough, bam, something hits. I don't know, maybe it's me. I've never had that happen to me in real life. Usually you see rain, thunder, but never has there been big booming thunder and then the rain instantly afterwards. And I've been in a lot of thunderstorms, so maybe other people will disagree with that with me out there. Who knows? Any rate, so they start fighting in the mud. Kate says, what happened here? Juliet said something to Kate, like, I think is this where Kate, yeah, I think Kate says you broke Jack's heart. That's why he said not to go back. And Kate decks Juliet, like, bam, cold cocks her. So they go down and they're fighting, and while they're wrestling, you hear a pop, and it's Juliet's arm. I thought she broke her, like, elbow or something, but something was wrong with her arm. Juliet screams out, and wham, we hear the monster. It's scared, crapless, and we cut to commercial. All right, everybody, we're back, coming into the final couple segments of the show. So they're running for, Kate and Juliet are running from the monster. It comes, you can't really hear it, but it's the typical stomping Tyrannosaurus Rex elephant yelling sound. They hide in the same tree that it seems everybody's hidden in. And then from the monster's point of view, we see them hiding, and a weird thing happens. The monster comes up and looks like it's taking pictures of them or something. I got the impression here that it was scanning who it was, and it saw Juliet and realized she was not a target. So I know people have said it's not nanomachines, but there's some sort of intelligence there, and it knew not to attack Juliet, or at least that's my theory. I could be wrong here, but I found that really, really interesting. I think it's done that to other people. I don't remember it scanning Echo that way, at least not before he killed him, or before it killed Echo, but I kind of came in halfway through season two, so I could be wrong here. So at any rate, the monster runs away. Juliet and Kate are sitting there, and Juliet says, are we safe? And Kate, you know, says, you tell me, you're the other, right? And then we cut to the beach, and it's nighttime. Hurley and Sawyer are there. Hurley tells Sawyer to get his back, you know, and be nice to the kid. And so he does, and it's funny. And there's a cute little line where at the very end, Sawyer hands Claire a blanket, and he says, I don't like blankets, and then realizes how stupid that line was. So it was cute. Then we cut back to Kate and Juliet waking up the next morning. And I think it was the next morning. I can't exactly remember. Anyways, they're in the tree, and Kate apologizes for ripping Juliet's arm off. but then Juliet smacks her down again and says, don't flatter yourself. I've dislocated it four times. So as they chit-chat, Juliet tells Kate about the cameras and one of the stations and how Jack saw Kate and Juliet going at it. Or, I'm sorry, boy, was that a Freudian slip? So Jack saw Kate and Sawyer getting it on. And so I think that's when we heard Jack's heart break. So she didn't want Jack to come back Jack didn't want her to come back because she broke his heart. So what are you going to do? Then we see Kate push in Juliet's shoulder and she screams. Cut to commercial four. I'm not going to break here, actually. I'll break later. So we come back, and the next morning, Sawyer and Desmond are hunting for the boar. And Desmond knows Sawyer's up to something. And then Desmond just, bam, nails a boar right in between the eyes. So evidently Desmond is an extremely good rifleman, whatever. So we cut to a quick shot of Kate and Juliet heading out from the trees, and they're off. Actually, yeah, this was the morning. That the previous scene where they were in the tree was still at night. So after they walk out from the tree, we do another flashback with Kate, and they're at the place where Kate's mom works. I think her name's like Denise. Denise or Diane or Denise or something. Something with a D. Anyways, Cassidy spills some chili or whatnot on Kate's mom, which makes her go into the bathroom to clean herself, and that's where Kate confronts her. Kate says, you know, I killed my dad for you, and then her mom says, no, you killed him for yourself. She says, don't come back. If I ever see you again, I'm going to yell for help. Now, that was kind of cool because if you remember in an earlier episode, Kate comes to her in the hospital, and I think she has cancer or something, and her mom sees her and just immediately screams help. So that was kind of neat seeing why she did that. So I thought that was kind of cool. So then we cut to another shot of Kate and Juliet walking on their way to, I think, the other compound. And Kate wants to know if Jack actually said she broke his heart. And, you know, then she says, well, you don't know anything about Jack. And then Juliet breaks down all his vital statistics, where he was born, that he was married, where he worked, how his father died, what his weight was, all this other stuff. And again, smacks Kate around and calls her Susan. Kate looks really stupid here. And then it's like, what do you know about Jack? And Kate, of course, couldn't really say anything. Then bam, the monster starts running. So they take off. We got this really great action sequence, and while they're running, they fall into a pit of mud that was there, probably from the rain, I guess. And they're scrambling, and as they're scrambling, I don't remember how it happened, but one way or another, they see the gate or the sound barrier thing, and Juliet's like, come on, we got to go. And Kate's like, no, I don't want to go through there. And Juliet doesn't have time to waste. So she whips out this key she has, unlocks herself, and runs into the other side of the gate and pulls up the switch to arm the barrier, which I thought was hilarious that she had been conning Kate the whole time. Finally, Kate trusts her and runs over. She activates the barrier, and Juliet stands up and basically stares down the monster. And then it crashes into the barrier, and the sound thing hits, and it runs off. A lot of people are thinking, why couldn't the monster just go over the barrier? I don't know, but an interesting line was when Juliet says, we don't know what it is. What we know is that it doesn't like our fences. That was telling to me, and I don't think Juliet was lying here, because the fences we've seen, they can just climb over the top of it. Maybe this is a gap in logic. But Juliet stood at the fence as a target. And if you notice, the smoke monster dives down at her. So I think that was a conscious effort by Juliet to make it come into the fence. Otherwise, it's kind of like a dog with an invisible fence. Dogs eventually can figure out that if they can stand the shock, they can get over the invisible fence and then just keep going. And I think that's the same thing here. The monster's annoyed by the fence enough not to mess with it casually. But it saw Juliet and went after her, an instinct, and bam, hit the gate. Now, I don't know why it would go after her here if it scanned her earlier and took off. Maybe there was some primitive prey mentality that took over there, or maybe it went back, you know, after it got its information and was given marching orders to kill them or what, who knows, but hopefully that'll be resolved. So at that point, Kate figures out that this was all a con. Juliet comes up with some cockamamie excuse that the others left her, the people she'd spent 3 years with, and she didn't want to get left behind again. Kate stomps off in a puff, and we cut to commercial, and I'm going to cut here as well. So when we come back, we'll bring the show in for a landing. We're back. Bring this thing in for a landing. Okay, coming back from the final commercial, Sawyer is cooking the boar that him and Desmond killed, and he's pouring some beer over it. It's a regular barbecue, right? So he small talks up Charlie talking about the vote, and Charlie says he doesn't know anything about it, and then he realized Hurley conned him. So way to go, Hurley. And I got to say here, Hurley's really stepped up while the other leaders have been gone, to really play and into the leader role. He's really taken charge. So I found that development with his character a lot of fun to enjoy here. He breaks down to Sawyer that people are turning to him for leadership, and Sawyer needed to step up. So Sawyer is hesitant, but then again, so was Jack. And so it was a cute little scene. Son still gives him the evil look, though, which was cute. All right, so then we're back with Kate and Juliet, and they arrive at the barracks, which is empty. And Juliet goes to find Kate, or goes to find Saeed, and Kate goes looking for Jack. Now, a lot of people here are thinking, well, how the heck does Juliet know where everybody is? Because she breaks down where Saeed is and tells her where Jack is. A couple things here. She's an other, so she knows where Jack and Saeed were being held. Obviously, they would probably be there before they were gassed, too. In addition to that, I don't think Juliet was gassed. I think they just left her and said, no, you don't get to go. So she would have known because I think she was conscious the whole time. Maybe we'll get to that, but that's me. So at any rate, Kate runs into Jack's house, and it's been trashed, and she sees Jack on the ground and starts crying and says, everybody's gone, blah, 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 blah. She apologizes and said it's because she came back that Jack's not going to be able to leave. What I thought was great here was Jack immediately asks if Juliet was still there, and Kate then realizes that Jack's moved on. So I thought that was a really important scene. So then we cut back to the final flashback sequence of the episode, and Cassidy and Kate are in the car and basically are doing their farewells, and Cassidy breaks down that she's pregnant. And we know it's Sawyer's kid. So Kate says to call the cops on him to get him locked up, which is which I thought was funny considering that Sawyer does end up in jail. Cassidy asks if Kate would ever forgive her mother for calling the cops on her, and Kate says no, and so she takes off and. Cassie thanks, quote-unquote, Lucy, and then Kate breaks down that her name is actually Kate, and I guess they head off. So then we're back, and Jack meets up with Juliet. They share a moment. Saeed says he did his reconnaissance because he's a good little soldier, and everyone's gone. So he doesn't want Juliet to come, but, of course, Jack says, you know, no, I'd love her. He doesn't say that, but he wants Juliet to go. Saeed thinks this is a setup. He could be right. You know, I don't know yet. I like Juliet's character, but I also know how manipulative she is. And I think Juliet's character is great, and I'll tell you why. In her flashback episode, we got to see how timid and meek she was. And this island and something that has happened to her here, either she found herself or when her husband was killed, ex-husband by the bus, she just decided she was not going to let other people run her life anymore. She's really transformed. So I find her character fascinating, how intelligent, how strong she is. And, you know, that's something you said about Lost. A lot of shows have women as weak and secondary and nothing but eye candy, but Lost has very strong female characters. And I think that's really kind of a testament to J.J. Abrams, especially with his previous shows such as, Felicity, which a lot of people don't realize he created. Felicity transforms from a very meek girl into a very strong woman by the end of the show, the end of the series. And I think Juliet's transformation kind of is parallel to that. And J.J. Abrams has always had very strong female characters in all of his shows. So Alias is another great example. So I don't think it really should be a surprise that there are strong characters in the show. And the episode comes to an end as they march off, presumably back to the camp. So, you know, they run the credits or whatever, and we see the coming attraction. So I'm going to play the audio for the coming attractions. So if you do not want to be spoiled and you don't watch the coming attractions, I would go ahead and dip right now. Thanks for tuning in. And I will have next week's Lost podcast up probably a day or two after the episode airs. And hopefully we can maybe hook some Skype up and get some ATSers to get in here on the show with me. I don't know really how that works yet, so... if anybody's interested, maybe we can get something going. So thanks for listening. If you don't want to be spoiled, dip out. If you do want to hear the trailer, hang in there, because here it is.
Now we go back.
Next Wednesday, their leader returns for a long-awaited reunion. But a familiar face
is she doing here?
Is not always a welcome one.
I want to know everything.
If I told you everything I know, you'd kill me.
What do you think I'll do if you don't?
All new Lost.
Looks like it'll be a heck of a reunion next week, doesn't it? So, I think that's going to be pretty cool if you paid attention, as some people have mentioned on the boards, and I saw, you saw the sub. I think the line from Saeed was awesome. He's like, what makes you, you know, what do you think I'll do if you don't, or whatever he says. I thought that was great. So that's bringing us to the end of the season, really. There's only 3 episodes left. So these next couple episodes are really going to serve as, this episode and the next episode are really going to tee up the 2 finales, the two final episodes. So, you know, we've got our filler episodes, so to speak, like the Paulo and Nikki episode and then the Hurley episode a couple weeks back. I don't believe there's going to be another one of those. So these next 3 episodes should be pretty intense, and it looks like we might start, I don't like to use the term getting answers, but it looks like we might start be going in the direction of piecing together the overarching reason of what the others are doing. And I fully expect the cliffhanger ending will be us figuring something fantastic out about the others, whether what they're doing, the reality of the situation, what the island is. There's going to be a major announcement, in my view, for the series and the show at the end of the season, because the show's only going to be around for 2 more seasons, and they want to end it off with either a feature-length film in the theaters or a 2-hour movie event, so to speak. So they got to, you know, this would be in movies, the first act would be the first 2 seasons, the second act would be the third and the fourth season, and the fifth act, or the first act is the first season and second season. Second act is the second and third, or the third and the fourth, and the third act would be the fifth season and the finale. So we're kind of coming up to the climax of the second act here. So they're gonna have to make a move. So we'll see what happens. But all in all, my thoughts for the episode, I thought it was pretty good. It moved the story along, answered some backstory questions about Kate, has teed up the direction the final part of the show is going to be going in for the rest of the season. So I found it really interesting. Not the best episode by any means. I thought last week's episode was better. The Man from Tallahassee, or not last week's episode. The Man from Tallahassee, I think, is the best episode of the season so far. But last week's episode was kind of a fun, you know, meanwhile back on the beach type episode, a little whodunit. And I was listening to Jay and Jack podcast, which I'm a big fan of, and they were mentioning that last week was the procedural drama, so to speak, or the procedural episode of Lost, because really, you know, the shows that last forever are all procedurals, and Lost is not a procedural, which is why people get frustrated. You know, the show does not get wrapped up after each episode. It's an overarching story. Procedurals are not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not specific to the United States, but we have a larger amount of procedural dramas on television than they do in Japan and in Europe. So while we're used to stories being wrapped up every week, Europe and Asia, they will have a lot of television shows that only last a season or 2 seasons. So think more along the lines of 24. Well, they will do a season, and that's it. And then maybe they'll bring the character back a couple seasons later, or a couple years later for another season of a show, or they'll revisit things. And I think that's really a trend that we're going to see going forward in American television, is a lot more shows that are 2 or 3 seasons, and they're conceptually that long. And that may not prove to be what the networks want, but when you think about it, a lot of shows that are dragged on are never good at the end. It's because you get something in the networks dragging on and on and on. What was ideally a 3 or 4 season story arc is dragged down to 6 or 7 seasons, and it's never very good. So shows have the opportunity to have a really long-lasting appeal and a very rabid fan base that, if they're not abused and taken advantage of and strewn out, so to speak, they'll really have a lasting impact in the pop culture. And I think Lost has a potential to do that if they don't string it out. This really needs to be, in my view, this should have been a 4 or 3 season show. First season, the first act, second season, the second act, third season, the third and final act, and then maybe do a finale to wrap it up. So Another thing on the message boards was the Lost video game. I made a post about how I think it's going to be terrible, and I wanted to elaborate on my view a little bit there. The reason why I think the Lost game will be terrible, aside from the fact that Ubisoft is making it, or let me rephrase that. Ubisoft is doing it one of their in-house production studios. However, a lot of the games that have the Ubisoft name on it, Ubisoft does not make. They're like EA. They produce it and distribute it, but they don't make it. They'll buy out the rights from smaller companies and distribute it, like EA does. But they don't produce all of the games that their names are on their in-house studios. But here's why I think it's going to suck, because most TV and movie games suck, and they suck bad. And I'm simply playing the odds here. While I want it to be as great as everybody else does, the fact of the matter is that I just do not think it's going to be good. Movie adaptions and television adaptions rarely are ever any good. Perfect example, Da Vinci Code. There's a game that could have been great. You've got phenomenal material to make a game out of, and it was terrible. Absolutely terrible. A terrible, terrible game. I can't go on about it enough. Lost, in my view, would have been really cool if it was something that takes place afterwards, and it was somebody who maybe rediscovers the island 20 years from now, and in a Myst type of game, it's a point and click where you walk around and you piece together the puzzles to fill in what happened on that island. Maybe there are video shots, or maybe we see, I mean, there's cameras everywhere, so they could film footage, and they could really work something that way. That, I think, would work, but something tells me that's not the way the game's going to be. TV and movie adaptions cash in on the name. They're not concerned about longevity. They know that they can make the game on the cheap. They plan on the strength of the intellectual property name, getting them the sales. Enter the Matrix is another great game. Another great example. That game was terrible. And you have this phenomenal concept and material to work with, and the game was terrible. I mean, sure, it was fighting was fun for the first, 2 minutes, and then it just was repetitive. The graphics were terrible. Novel concept, terrible, poor execution. So while I want it to be good, I do not have a lot of faith given the track record of TV to movie adaption. So hopefully the people on the boards will kind of get my view a little better than that. So that's going to be it for me. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Hopefully I will be able to do the other two, and maybe next season I'll do one for each show. I would like to see actually more people on the boards take this up and do reviews of or recaps and podcasts of their favorite TV shows, whether it's The Office or what's some other good stuff. I don't watch a lot of TV. Office or Jericho or The Simpsons. It doesn't really matter. I would really like to see some people chit-chat more than just on the boards. We got a great tool on here with the podcast on Above Top Secret, and I wish more people would utilize it. So it's not too hard. I've got a MacBook. I just use GarageBand and do some post-production with it. And, it's not too hard. There's a lot of good tutorials out there. So hopefully some other people will get in. And as I said, I'm interested in kind of testing out this whole Skype thing. So maybe I can figure out a way to have a couple other ATSers call in over Skype, and maybe we can have two or three people do the podcast together. Excuse me. I don't know how that works. So maybe that would be something better left for next season, or possibly a recap or a Lost Year in Review episode over the summer or something like that. But that's going to be it. So once again, thanks for tuning in, and I hope everybody has a great week, or a great week. And if you're going to a week, I'm sorry for the loss. But have a great week, and tune in next time for more Lost ATS Podcast. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, "Do you come from a land down under?"